This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 1502. Budgets suck. Do this instead. By Firecracker of millennial-revolution.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. This is the show where I read to you from the best personal finance blogs on the web, with the author's permission, of course. Let's hear today's post and start optimizing your life. Budgets suck. Do this instead. By Firecracker of millennial-revolution.com. There, I said it. And now as I dive under the covers to hide from the combined fury wrath of Mr. Money Mustache, Budgets Are Sexy, and Mrs. Frugal Woods, let me tell you why. Now you're probably thinking, what the hell are you talking about, Firecracker? I'm clearly full of considering how often I wax poetic about my budgeting spreadsheets and those sexy, sexy Southeast Asian prices. But hear me out. The reason why I say budgets suck is because they just don't work. Sure, weirdos like me will get off on tracking every dollar spent and fawn over frequent flyer miles. But for most people, budgets are as fun as getting a fire ant enema. This is because for regular, non-crazy people, budgets can feel like straitjackets. And even though I think too much freedom can be bad for you, too little freedom is even worse. Let me explain. Budgets tend to look at your spending and try to force you to ruthlessly cut back on everything. And it does this by comparing every category of your spending to an acceptable spending range. But what they don't do is empower you. This is because they take away your control and force you to conform to restrictions that don't work for everyone. As much fun as it is to be judgmental, and believe me, I know, the reality of the world is that we're all different. What works for one person won't necessarily work for another. Travelers don't want to cut back on trips. Homebodies don't want to cut back on furnishings. Foodies don't want to cut back on food. Fashionistas don't want to cut back on shopping. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should just throw caution to the wind and blow your cash on whatever you want. Becoming financially independent requires a certain amount of discipline, which means you can't turn your expenses into money inferno. But that doesn't mean that you have to cut expenses down to the bone. So put away that hatchet and pick up a pen. Why a pen? Because we're going to figure out the meaning of life. The meaning of life. Okay, I may have oversold that last bullet point just a tad, but it's not too far off. While I can't tell you about the meaning of life, I can tell you about the meaning of money. And the big secret is the meaning of money is different for each person. So to start, I want you to write down the three things that are most important to you. Go ahead, I'll wait. Got it? Okay, good. What you've just written down are your top three values. Those are what you should be spending money on. Everything else can be cut to the bone. But if you cut into these areas, guess what? You are cutting into your happiness. Take me, for example. My top three values are 1, wanderer, 2, travel, 3, food. So that's why I always leave ample room in the budget for those things. Remember how we spent $1,800 in 1 month on food in Boston because we needed our lobster fix? Or $650 on getting scuba certified? Or $150 on the robot show? And even though I don't drink, because I want Wanderer to be happy, I always make room for booze, even though I consider it a waste of money and it's taxed like crazy. He tends to help me out by choosing to buy booze from grocery stores rather than going out to pricey bars. But nevertheless, we make room in the budget for what's important to the both of us. As long as we make up for it by cutting ruthlessly in areas we don't care about, like cars, houses, and clothing, there's more than enough money to go around. Think of it this way. Picture a glass jar. Next to it sits a pile of big rocks, pebbles, and sand. If you try to dump the sand in first, add the pebbles, and then jam in the pile of rocks, it won't fit. That's because sand and pebbles would take up most of the empty space, leaving little room for the rocks. However, if you put in the rocks first, dump in the pebbles to fill in the empty space between the rocks, and then finally top it off with your sand, you'll find that everything fits. In the example, the big rocks are what you value the most. The leftover room in the jar will be filled by the other stuff, the stuff you're indifferent about. This is why we're perfectly happy to spend a whopping $1,889 per month in Boston on food and booze, because lobsters. $988 on accommodation, an anorexic $211 on transportation, and even tinier $86 on clothing. Clearly, you know where our priorities lie. I was willing to take the subway instead of buying a car or taking cabs because I'd rather use that money for extra lobsters and oysters. I hate driving anyways, so buying a car held zero appeal for me. Maybe a car lover would rather spend $1,000 a month on leasing a car, but only $800 a month on food. Maybe they're not a fan of lobsters anyway, so they end up cooking more. And maybe a homebody would rather spend $2,000 a month on some fancy digs, but don't bother eating out at all, and spend almost nothing on transportation because they hate going out. All are different and all are acceptable. And here's the other thing. Just because our jar was $3,200 per month doesn't mean everyone's jar has to be that size. For those willing to trade off some years of their life to continue working so they can get a bigger portfolio, that's fine too. If you're willing to grind away at the 9-to-5 for another 5 to 10 years to expand that jar, do it. Or for those willing to work after retirement so you can have a second jar to catch the spillover, you can do that too. This is why forcing everyone to have the same jar and the exact same contents makes no sense. My rocks are not car lovers' rocks, and homebody's rocks aren't my rocks. When it comes to budgeting, we shouldn't all be budgeting the same way. Everyone's path to financial independence is unique and uniquely their own. So figure out your values and fill that jar your way with your rocks and screw what anyone else thinks. You just listened to the post titled "Budgets Suck, Do This Instead" by Firecracker of millennial-revolution.com. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. If you've been using Mint to manage your finances, I've got some bad news. Mint is shutting down. But now for the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation, your kids' college. I've found that Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's monarchmoney.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial. Now, if you've been listening for a while, you know that I'm a fan of budgeting, but you need to find a way to budget that isn't painful. I like this quote from Dave Ramsey, who said, "A budget is simply telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went." I guess I just disagree with Firecracker here when she says that budgets take away your control and force you to conform to restrictions. But when it comes to restrictions based on an acceptable spending range, this is not coming from an outside force or being forced on you from the budgeting gods. This is you determining for yourself what an acceptable amount of spending is based on your income, values, and financial goals. You are in absolute control of your own budget. I think if your budget feels like a straitjacket, it's probably because it's unrealistic. So tweak it and work towards making tiny 1% improvements each month rather than making yourself feel bad about the overly restrictive budget that you created. And if over time this still doesn't help you reach your financial goals, it's possible that you don't have a spending problem. Maybe you have an income problem. Perhaps you need to focus your efforts on increasing your income rather than reducing your expenses, but that doesn't mean that you should give up on your budget. If you're not engaging with a budget, then how will you know if you're moving towards your financial goals? Given that Firecracker demonstrated in this article that she is really clear on where her money is going and how it aligns with her values and overall financial goals, it sounds to me like she's actually engaging with a budget in a sustainable way. That should do it for another edition of Optimal Finance Daily. I'll be back tomorrow for the Wednesday show, so I'll see you there where your optimal life awaits.